This is still in beta. This is probably the first in a while where we've, I think the last time we did this was only 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I don't know. It feels really fast.
Instead of like a 3 month break or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me briefly talk about this game. Deliver Us Mars. I don't recommend it. The game itself is kind of a... It's clearly a smaller studio, but that's not like why I don't recommend it, right? It's got a somewhat... It's got a mildly interesting story about people going to Mars, and like Earth is nearly past the point of saving, like it's in ruin. So people go to the moon, and then from the moon they go to Mars, and they try to inhabit Mars, and there's a lot of drama that happens. And it feels sort of like this person, whoever the writer of this story was, like, watched what's the Christopher Nolan movie Interstellar. Like, he watched Interstellar and they were like, I kind of want to make an Interstellar game, but I don't want to have the like black hole and time travel stuff. And so
wasn't it like the whole point of the movie?
Yeah, I mean, that was the big device at the end. But anyway,
the only other thing Interstellar had was like the wet planet.
Yeah, water planet where time, the relativity makes time move by like super fast on that planet or something because it's so close to the black hole, or something like that. And then there's CubeBot, like the walking square. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
The magic robot.
So there's stuff like that. And so it ends up being kind of a, mostly a, just like a narrative, like walking around game. And there's a few like puzzle aspects, but it's all the same puzzle. It's all like, here's a mechanic. It is connect these two points. Cool. You've got that. Now you're going to have to do that a little bit different over the course of the game. And it involves like, you got to open these doors by connecting these points, and then you got to actually open these other doors to get out, you know, or something like that. And they also added this like climbing mechanic that was really similar to the newer Tomb Raider games, where you've got these like climbing pickaxes.
Mm-hmm.
But you, in this game, you have to use, you control the arms independently, so you have to like tell it, you know, grab on with this arm and grab on with this arm and then let go with this arm and move that arm and then grab on and then move the other, let go and then move the other arm and grab on. And so it was,
is
just
it like
sort of
quap?
Like,
are you like, is it,
it's
like,
not a, it's not as bad as quap, it's not as like but it but it's kind of quappy in the climbing.
Okay.
And yeah, and so it was fine. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me was that there were some situations where I was like, the sound design for this is really good. And the attention to some of the sound like effects, like how dialogue sounds over distance through like the reverb and stuff in different spaces sounded like pretty convincing. And then there was this effect where like you go diving with your dad and you're scuba diving, but you have like full face masks with radios in them. So like you can hear each other just clearly over the radio system, but it's like radio futzed and it doesn't like roll off over distance. But if you get close to your dad while you're swimming, you can hear the like, and, like you can hear the muffled line that matches the radio process line. And I was like, that's a neat touch. And then, so I asked one of my coworkers who does sound design and also dives as a hobby. I was like, is that Is that real? Like, would you hear that muffled, like, voice of the other person while you were next to them underwater? And he's like, oh, yeah. He was like, that's pretty neat that they added that. And I'm like, it is neat. So there's, like, neat things about this game. And they added, like, a patch that, because it's an Unreal Engine game, so they added a patch where it, like, enabled a bunch of hardware ray tracing stuff that made the game look really good. So I'm like, okay, well, this is neat. And then over the course of playing the game, it must have been like a memory leak or something, because the bug that was there whenever it would crash was this like can't read, you know, blah, blah, blah memory address. And it got worse the longer you played the game. So like early on, I don't remember it happening, but as I like started to like complete sections of the game, it's like, okay, well now every like 40 minutes it's doing it. Now every 20 minutes I'm doing it. And then by the time I got to the last, in the last 20 minutes, it crashed every 6 minutes.
I can't believe you continued to play the game.
Well, it was like, I knew I was right there. And I'm like, I just want to see what this end is. I've like put in all of this time. I can't just not see what the end is. It's like two cinematics away. And so I just suffered through it and was just like, fine, I know I'm right there. All I need to do is watch this cinematic. And it crashed the first time it tried to play the ending cinematic. And then the next time it tried to play the ending cinematic, it went through. But I was like, man. And sure enough, you know, as you might expect, it didn't feel like it was worth it. Like, it was not worth trying my patience so hard, but like, I at least don't feel, I guess, the other end of it, which is, well, now I don't know if it was worth it. So at least I know it was not a very satisfying ending.
And I guess you also probably didn't pay for it because it was an Epic Store giveaway.
It was a free one. Yeah, it was a freebie. Yeah. So
I mean, I guess that's probably part of why you tolerate it is because you didn't actually pay money for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I guess I can take this time to mention that the Epic Store review process is dumb. Between crashes was given a prompt to review the game, but I had already restarted the game whenever that thing finally popped up, when the launcher like came into focus and was like, hey, what do you think of this game? And I'm like, oh, what do I think of this game? Well, I think it's good. I don't think it's great. Do I rate it a 3 out of 5 or a 4 out of 5? Because I don't think it's particularly fun, but I like certain aspects about it. And so I was about to give it a 3, and then the game came into focus, and I lost focus of the launcher window, and then I lost my ability to review the game.
And you'll never get a chance again. It's like winning the fucking lottery to be able to review a game. I have played a couple, I'm not going to say a lot, but I've played Cyberpunk a lot through the Epic Games Store, right? Uh-huh. And I don't think I ever got an opportunity to give it like a star rating review. I've had a couple of like little questionnaires come up because I also played Fallout New Vegas through the Epic Store. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a couple of options come up for things like, does this game have compelling boss battles? Does this game have, you know, diverse character stuff or you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I've never had the opportunity to say, you know, what's my review of this product?
Yeah.
So it's kind of frustrating. Like, just like if you compare it to like the Steam library, like anybody who's bought the game can give the game a review, right?
Does it have to be anybody who's bought the game, or can it just be?
I feel like they've got to at least do that because, like, there's review bombing is already like such a big friggin' problem that, like, I would think they would have to at least require that. Like, if you don't have to buy the game, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes you know, anybody can just review bomb the shit out of anything, right? But I think on Steam, you have to at least own the game to give it.
Yeah.
And so I guess it helps with review bombing because it's like, it's you just get kind of like a review ambush and you can't like plan on, I guess, I don't know. I guess there's people out there that would probably like go buy a game on Steam for $70 and then like write a bad review and then get a refund immediately or something to be a dick. Like,
yeah, buy it, write a bad review, refund it without even playing it so that you're under the 2 hour limit or whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's people that might do that or something just because they really wanted, I don't know, whatever that latest game was that came out, like they really want fucking the new Dragon Age to fail or something because, you know, you can be a character that doesn't look like them.
Yeah.
So that means that it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I don't know anything about why Epic decided to do what they did. And because they also integrate like OpenCritic reviews into their system, and that can just be whatever. So I don't think there's any, like, I don't know what the term is. I'm blanking on the, there's no filtering, there's no curation of those reviews that I know of, other than the critic reviews. And even then, it's like, what are those worth these days? So, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the articles and reviews and stuff from like gaming websites are either a reaction to shit that's going on Reddit, direct quotes from shit that's going on Reddit, or rips of stuff from Reddit, or they're essentially paid advertisements. It's like,
yeah. Reacting to public opinion is pretty common.
It's like, oh, everybody's hating on this game, so I'll write a hate article about this game. Or everybody's loving this game, so I'll write a
hate article about this game. I mean, it's the thing that, like, all, you know, written articles, like all internet articles have, is it's what is it? The internet is the opposite of the phrase "you catch more flies with honey," right? Like, you catch more clicks with rage.
Well, no, it's you catch more flies with shit posts. It is. And that's your title for this episode, by the way. But yeah, I mean, yes, it's either a shit post or it's like a paid. It feels like it was paid for kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I don't really. Gaming articles about games are like, what's the point of reading that? Like they're only like the only useful articles that come into gaming magazines and websites at this point is like stuff about the industry and what's happening there, you know, like the thousands of layoffs that Microsoft is doing after they bought like every company and under the sun.
Yeah, and even still, like, so many of those, I don't know, I read some of those, and especially since I've seen articles about like the company I work for a lot of the time, and I'm like, oh, they're talking to people who don't know anything. Okay. Like, so now everybody's just got this skewed perspective of like how our operation is, because they talk to like either people who were angry about something or like didn't understand really what was going on in the company, and then those are the kinds of people that they're going to get to give like to be an anonymous lead or what they feel like is a whistleblower or something like that. And it's like, cool, way to go. You're really, you know, if we figure out who you are, like, you are fired, so like you're not like helping yourself out with this whole situation.
Yeah,
it's such a mess. So I can only imagine that like for other people it's the same deal. Like the bitter people are the ones who are like, I'm gonna go to the media, I'm gonna tell, you know, Jason Schreier like all of my woes, and he's gonna write it up, and people are gonna be like, oh, those poor people.
The fact that you could think of an author's name to cite was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, that's the guy. That's the game, you know, the game industry leak guy.
Game industry leak guy. Okay, so I'll talk about the game I'm playing, because I wanted to play Witcher 3, but I haven't played any other Witchers. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try and play through the first two before I get to the third one. I'm playing Witcher 1, and oh my gosh, it is such a janky game. So
I've played 2 and 3, and I'll tell you, when I started 2, I was playing it on a friend's recommendation, because he's like, 2's pretty good, and like 3 had like just been announced or something. And so there was even like a mod to 2 where they were like, this mod makes all the combat and magic work more like it's going to work in the third game. And I'm like, oh, wow, that you must really not like you even like made your own combat system in this game. But I don't think I got that mod to work at the time. So uh-huh. I didn't even play that. But when I started the game, I was like, what the hell is happening? Because your character starts and he has like amnesia and stuff. And you get a little bit of a flashback that's like, here's what he doesn't remember. And I'm like, great.
That's how the first Witcher starts. He has amnesia.
No.
They did the amnesia thing twice.
I guess so. And then, like, I'm walking around and I'm meeting these characters, and Geralt is like, yeah, I definitely know this dwarf and this other guy. Like, I know all these people. And I'm like, some amnesia. But
is it maybe it's still the amnesia from the first Witcher?
Oh, maybe.
And so he's got some memories. If it's double amnesia, I mean, come on.
Yeah. But maybe it was still the first amnesia, but. But I was like, I was in the middle of like a war or something, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, I feel so out of my depth with like what I've just walked into. And I'm like asking my friend, like, you got to explain to me, like, what the hell is going on in this game? Because I feel like I need to have played the first one, because there's so much context that is like missing.
Uh-huh. Well, so in that case, I don't entirely regret what I'm doing right now. But this game is not good.
I want to say you tried to play this game years ago.
I tried to play it. So the game is from like 2007, I think. Oh, release date 2008. 2008. So it's God. When was the first Skyrim? When was Skyrim
the
Zero?
The first Skyrim. Like, that shouldn't make sense, that phrase, the first Skyrim, but it does. Because it's not like you're saying the first Elder Scrolls. That's not what you mean. You mean the first Skyrim.
Yeah, when was Skyrim 1?
That had to have been, 2011. So you're okay. Between
Morrowind, because Morrowind was like 2005 Oblivion. Or something. Oblivion, yeah.
Yeah, Oblivion was 06, so you're closer to Oblivion than Skyrim.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, so it's got that, like, graphically it's in that kind of realm of, like, that realm of stuff.
But like PS3?
Yeah. Wait, I mean, this is more like PS2 and a half, I think. No, it came out. It came out like the same year or the year after Heavenly Sword, and graphically, like, it's nowhere near like Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, Heavenly Sword was really good for the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. More Oblivion was a 360 and PS3. So does it have like really heavy like bloom effects and like?
No. It's got like
dull,
very dull
color palettes.
It's got some dull color palettes, yes, yeah. But then it's like the lighting system is like really bad, like because there's only certain things that have shadow, that have like real time shadows on them. And then they like penetrate through all this other stuff. So like you'll like if you like walk across a bridge, you'll see a shadow of your character like 60 yards off in the distance during sunset because the shadow projects through the bridge onto the ground below it, you know, stuff like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, or there's like an area where up on top of a hill, there's like two chairs, these two stools. And then they have a shadow, but nothing else. None of the other objects in the game world cast a shadow. So you'll walk down the hill, and there's just the shadow of two stools. And nothing else. And you're like, why are there two stool shadows here? And then you walk up the hill, it's like, oh, there's two stools all the way up here. But the crates and barrels and bridge and everything else that like does not cast a shadow. So it's like very selective shadow casting. It's basically only like characters that walk around. And stuff like that.
But are you playing the enhanced edition?
Yes. Enhanced, I guess, director's cut, which to me says that there's probably some improvements to this. Like it was even worse when the first version came out. But like the combat is janky. It's like, I don't know if do you remember the game Summoner for PS2?
Yes.
Yes. Where the combat was like, you were just kind of like, it was just like a rhythm game where you kind of had like click at the right time.
Yeah, and I remember, because you'd have like a chain attack or something, and there was even like the icon of like a literal chain that would be on your screen and it would break or something.
Yeah, so that's basically the kind of combat is in this game. It's like you have like three different modes. You have strong, fast, and group, and it's sort of like if there's a bunch of weak enemies, you use group. If there's like a big tall, if there's somebody who's tall, you use strong. And if there's somebody who's short, you use fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember like back when I played the demo for this game, probably back in 2006.
Yeah.
There being that sort of rock, paper, scissors, fighter stance combat.
Right. Yeah. And so it's just like, it's all just kind of like rhythm based. Like the icon will change color. And then you click then and you'll like chain the attacks. But then like the enemies will like, I mean, the enemies attack and there's mention of parry and dodge. But I don't know if there's like nothing about like how to do that. There's like not a command to do it. Like you can double tap in a direction and your character will like flip over people and stuff. Uh-huh. But that doesn't really seem to avoid attacks. It seems like it just kind of moves you around. It just like repositions you.
That's and beautiful.
Like, yeah. And so it's like there are so many times where the combat, like, it's just awful. Like you'll walk into a room and there's like four guys and before you can draw your sword, they're already like, they've already got all their weapons and they're attacking you and you'll be at like, you'll be almost dead before you even got your sword out.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe you get to kill them. And then it's like, well, I died. So now I'll reload and I'll re-enter this room. And then this time, like, I managed to move before I got, like, gangbanged in the closet of this tiny room with five guys. And now I got my sword out and I can actually start killing people. And sometimes it just feels like totally random, like whether you're going to take an insane amount of damage all of a sudden or not. And like I said, if there is some kind of dodge mechanic, it's either passive or fuck all, because the animations of the enemies are like so bad that there's no telegraphing of anything if you're supposed to try and like react to stuff. And because you're trying to do the rhythm game crap, it's not like you have chance to react to what they're doing anyway, because you're trying to react to your own attacks so you can actually like hurt them. Anyway, it's bad. The combat is bad. The voice acting, like I said, like the voice acting is like mid to terrible. Like some of the voice actors do a decent job, but like fucking Geralt, the main character, the one with the most lines in the game, literally is the worst voice actor in the game. Like all of his lines are just like, "Hello, oh, are you boring sailors? Hey, come on, I don't believe you." Like he delivers everything with the exact same like passion of, you know, a depressed lunch lady on Valium. It's just like there is literally no emphasis on any syllable, and they're all delivered at the same meter and tone and volume, every single word of every single line.
I'm really curious when you finish this game what you'll think of the next two games. Because some things don't change. Like the Geralt's voice, exactly the same in all three games. It's from what you're describing. But, and like, that's part of his, like, Witcher mutation is that, like, he's kind of a stoic. Like, his emotions and stuff are, like, removed. Or his expression of emotion. Like, he still feels things, but he can't express things like fear or anger, really.
Was this novel like a metaphor for autism or something? Like what the fuck?
I don't know. It's Polish, right? So, I mean, there's that.
That makes sense. Oh, it's all, I understand now.
I mean, when was the, I don't know. It might be like, you know, the writings of a, you know, war-torn and overthrown countryman, you know, who's writing, his fantasy is that the hero is this, like, solemn monster hunter. I don't know. Anyway, I tried to look for stuff on the Witcher 1 combat, and the results are, you know, obviously, the top results are Reddit comments that just say, "Can someone explain Witcher 1 combat to me? Witcher 1 combat, inconceivable how to fight. Witcher 1 combat, can someone explain the combat in The Witcher?"
Yeah, no, that's it. That's basically it. Like, and the answers to that kind of stuff is, "LOL, use potions." I think.
Oh well, the one that I saw said, "It's bad. It's basically a rhythm game, but it's bad. Just set the difficulty to the lowest and get through it."
That's my mistake, because I chose the medium difficulty.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck with it, because you can't change the difficulty.
Yeah.
And I was so, too far in to go back and start over.
Yeah, there's some scenarios in The Witcher's 2 and 3, where, like, playing The Witcher 2 without having played The Witcher 1, I was in the same boat. I was like, what is fighting in this game? And it was a similar thing of like, I can do a dodge roll. It does not help me.
No, the like, dodge. That's the thing. Like you can do a dodge roll. You can like do a move where you flip over at someone and go behind them. It doesn't make the attack stronger or hit better or do anything.
Yeah.
It just moved your character from here to over there.
And I wish I could tell you what was effective, because I beat the game. Yeah, right. I beat The Witcher 2. And so at some point, I figured something out, and I can't really tell you what that is.
No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. There's a progression system in the game, and you just kind of get stronger faster than the enemies do.
Okay, so you just
that's
out...
all it is. Yeah.
So you're just always bad, and at some point you're just like, guess I'm not as bad.
Yeah, no, that's literally all there is to it. It's like,
I think
just level so, a little bit, and then that's it.
I think there were some things, though, like, I'm trying to remember, like, I did have to, like, use certain, like, spell things or whatever, the, like, signs, and so, like, I do remember figuring out how to use those more strategically, or something, or to, like, unlocking ones that were just, like, actually any good, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I think that was part of it. And part might have also been cheesing the AI in some things, but
well, that's definitely how I did some of the combats that I won, cuz there was like these wyverns that were kicking my ass, cuz there's like seven of them like all in a cluster. And again, it's basically like once there's more than three enemies of any like reasonable strength, you're basically fucked.
Yeah.
So, but like it was like an AI cheese thing, because the wyverns would combat any other enemies that nearby, because it was like a swamp. So it's like there's like three factions, like swamp creatures and wyverns and me. And if I could lure the swamp creatures and the wyverns together, they'd fight each other, and that would distract them long enough for me to use like tricky tricks to like win fights. But yeah. I mean, some of it is signs, like there's a spell called Ard or whatever, and like if you knock a creature down, then you can just instantly slay the creature. And yeah. So that's like how I get through most of the fights, is like knock you down and murder. And yeah. But then again, that's the problem. Like if there's too many people, then you can't do it.
Yeah. But there's another one that's like a shield or whatever that'll absorb, or at least this is what it was. The freshest one on my mind is three. And so that one had like a shield spell.
But does the shield split go away as soon as you attack?
No.
Yeah, that's how it works in this game. Ugh. And so it's like, well, that's a fucking garbage spell. I'm not going to put any points into that bullshit.
Yeah.
It's basically just, and it says on the description of it, like, this is just a spell to use so you can drink a potion in battle. And it's like, cool. Well, that's fucking dumb. I can just walk two steps back and drink a potion. Like, as long as I'm not, you know, crowded in the man closet, like some parts
game, that's dude. The title of the episode.
The hut that's got 15 dudes in it and it's like a 6x6 room, but like, so does, when I'm
does Ard only work on one creature in that game?
You can every time you tier it up, it will add like 30 degrees to the area that it does.
Okay.
So eventually it does a 360 and will knock everyone around you down. But you still only have enough time, because he's got to do this flourish bulk crap to like insta-kill one creature when you knock them all down.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's just like the combat is just like half of it. Like, so I did I got through the first chapter by using a cheese to kill the boss at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like there's a couple of like power ups in the world, like things you can interact with, like places of power. And so you find those places of power and then like run through the story, skip through the story stuff real fast, and then you still got that power buff. And then you fight the boss and you knock it down and you insta kill it. So.
Yeah, that's how that sounds works. Great.
Yeah. So then I was like, okay, fine, that's done. So now I can go to chapter two. Chapter two is like this detective mode. And oh my gosh, the main story quest, like just so many of the story quest buffs are so bad. There's like all these like clues you have to find. Like you get this list of suspects and it's just like randomly just like choosing dialogue options will be like, for some reason, will like check off this invisible list of like, well, I've ruled this guy out as a suspect. And I'm like, what? I don't even understand. Like, why is he not a suspect? And then you can go talk to him again. It's like, I no longer suspect you. And it's like, okay, I guess I'll say that to him. Like, because it's the only dialogue option that's not gray that I haven't said before.
And let's hope that's the truth.
I mean, the thing is, that is how it worked. Every suspect is not the suspect. Like, you have a list of like five suspects. Who's the person that I need to find in this mystery? And it's none of them. It's the detective that you go talk to help you is the person. I think you have to rule. It's just so dumb. And like, so I did like just kind of fumbling along and then like also losing patience and looking at a wiki, like ruled out all of the suspects.
Uh-huh.
And then like when I went to go talk to one of them, because they were a merchant also, like a line came up that said, I figured out that the detective is murdered and replaced with the mage who's using illusion magic. And I'm like, no, I certainly did not. All I did was cross a couple of people off a list. That has no bearing on whatever shit you come up with. And it's just because like the dialogue story like got to the point where I solved the case.
Yeah.
Because I had ruled out all of the suspects.
You checked all the boxes. So the condition for that dialogue,
but like so open. many of the like rule out the suspect stuff were done. Like some, and there's like the characters in the game will move around, like kind of like the Radiant AI of Bethesda games and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it's fucking terrible. Like there are key characters that you have to talk to for elements of quests that will only hang out in a specific spot for like 2 hours of a 24-hour fucking cycle, and if you don't find them in that 2-hour window, they will not exist at all anywhere else on the map. Like there was a guy, I just through sheer chance like ran into him. Like I saw a guy standing down by a dock and his name was Con Man. I'm like, okay, Con Man is clearly somebody I've got to go talk to.
Yeah.
So I go talk to him and he's like, hey, got any work for me, Con Man? And he's like, I do. And he's like, oh, all right, Con Man, I'll take your quest. And then like I do the quest and I'm like, okay, where's Con Man? I got to go turn in my quest to be conned by him and finish it. And I couldn't find him. I'm like,
that was the ultimate
guy?
Con right there.
Right. He's like, he was like, here's his key. Go into the sewers and get this treasure and bring me back my family heirloom. You can keep everything else. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And so I get all this treasure and I find it and I've got all this treasure and I've got the ring to give to him, but I can't fucking find him to get conned out of this ring that he wants.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to go look it up. It's like, oh yeah, like the spot that you found him, he's only there for like 3 hours out of the day. And it's just like, how the hell am I ever supposed to find him again?
Yeah. And like, where do they go? Do they just despawn?
Yeah. They just fucking disappear.
That's wild.
Yeah. And so it's just like, oh my gosh. And like some of the elements of like the detective work was the same thing. It was like, there was a suspicious character like hanging outside a pawn shop and he's only there for 2 hours a day and you got to find him when he's there. And then you click on him to talk to him. It doesn't open up a dialogue. He just does like a little like a lot of the like irrelevant characters just do like a pithy line over their head. Like, uh-huh. Like I hate elves, burr, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. And he just says like, don't look at me or some shit like that. Like, but that interaction, and that was like the thing I needed to rule some guy to check him out. Like, oh, well, obviously he's innocent because I found some random dude and he said, don't look at
him. Uh-huh.
And that was the trigger that when I talked to him, he was like, oh, yeah, the detective I've been working with is murdered and been replaced with the mage. And I was like, what?
Well, I'll tell you that at least that aspect of the games got better. The quests are much better than that.
Yeah. But after my character, like who's a brilliant psychic genius, figured out that the detective was murdered, then I got access to like go into the crypts and I found the detective's murdered body. Later. like me, the player, is like, oh, okay, there it is.
Oh, yeah, I was right.
Yeah. And it was, it was funny. It was like, there was still like other like detective work quests that I could do. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to do all of them. And so then like,
The murdered mage imposter guy.
Yeah. So I go back to the detective who I know is a murdered mage, even though for no reason I know that knowledge. And he's like, I need you to do some more work to figure out this case. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it, buddy. He's like, but first you got to pay me $200. And I'm like, sure, let's keep going. Let's keep digging. And so then he like sends me to go do this autopsy. So I've got to like get a corpse and do an autopsy on it. And the quest is like, I already know that the mage is an I already know that the detective's an imposter, but I'm going to do the autopsy anyway. And it's like, it was also ridiculous.
That's pretty
good.
And
then like when I did the autopsy, then there was like a cinematic where he's like, oh, the killer is a mage disguised as a detective. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I thought this was a different case, but you're telling me he was working the same case. You could continue to work the murders.
Yes. Yeah, continuing the same case to figure out who the guy is that's working with the bad guys. That was all this case. All of the suspects. And it's like, I had 5 suspects. And then, like, you go talk to him. He's like, here's a list of more suspects. And then I go and, like, rule them all out. And then that was how it got to the point of, like, oh, he gave me more suspects. He's the bad guy in disguise.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. That's so good.
Yeah, it was freaking crazy.
It reminded me of LA Noir. Do you remember that game?
Uh-huh.
With like the creepy faces.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Again, I felt like a sociopath playing that game because I was supposed to like detect like emotional cues and shit in people. And I'm like, that person is looking down and away and they're talking fast. They're fucking guilty. And it's like, oh, you murdered the wrong person. I'm like, what? That person was guilty as shit. And they're like, no, they were just sad. And I'm like, oh, well, apparently I'm a monster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite / least favorite interaction in that game was like part of the there's two problems with that game. One is that it's from what I understand, at some point, the doubt button was not doubt. But it was like accused with no evidence, essentially. Uh-huh. And so doubt feels way more like soft hand. Like, I don't think you're really being honest with me, right? But no. And like one of the first times I used doubt was when I was talking to like this like 14-year-old rape victim who's like still in the hospital. And I didn't find exactly the right piece of evidence, like in my like scanning a location or whatever. And so she said something and I'm like, that's not right though. Like that is based on like what I found, but I was like, I don't have the piece of evidence to confirm or to like link with that statement. So I couldn't use the, like, here's the evidence that you're a liar. I was like, doubt. And he just goes off on this little girl. He's just like, you're fucking lying to me. Now you tell me the truth. And I'm like, gee whiz, man. Like you're a freak show. There's no reason to do that.
I think that's what happened to me when I was playing the game. I think I only played it for like one case.
Yeah.
I was just like, no, I hate this. But okay. like somebody's like, you know, I'm like, oh, the place, like I was like, somebody, it was like a murder victim or a robbery or something. And they said something while looking away. And I'm like, I think you're lying. I'll nudge the doubt button. And he's like, you're under arrest. And I'm like, what? And they're like, well, we got away. And it's like, but that's not what I wanted to do.
But yeah, but since you're talking about like the murderer, like the guy sending you after suspects and like none of the suspects are the right guy, right? They're all not the suspect.
Yeah.
Like that's how, so you get sent to them because you work through different desks. You work like, you know, like property crime or whatever and arson. And, you know, you end up getting onto the murder desk, right? So you're looking for this serial killer. And So there's all of these murder cases where you like go to the crime scene, pick up evidence, get some suspects, question the suspects, present them with the evidence. And like the chief of police is just like you can get, go to the chief of police with like all of the evidence that says like, this is the guy, I guess. And even if you know, like, this is not the guy, the chief of police is like, I want a guy behind bars. And so you have to keep like using this evidence to send these people behind bars. And none of them were the murderers in any of those cases. So like you've gathered all of this evidence, you've piled it up against them, and you've just fabricated a story. And now you've sent them all up the river for murders they didn't commit.
And like it's the police. Like,
yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then like the way you find out about like who the real murderer is through like this like last level like shootout scenario where he basically is like cornered by other cops and you like have to chase him down and kill him and stuff. And but it's just like none of the people you investigated were actually criminals. You just put everybody away. You put away for the wrong reasons, and you're like the worst cop.
And it's like, is it just like forced to tell a story that way that like it yes. has to play out? Like, so you've yeah. got to just, you just got to frame somebody for murder.
Yeah.
Long enough to like basically just have this guy confess it was me. Ha ha.
Yeah. And I think you're even scored. Like you're even scored on like how well you do for each case. And like you ace these, you know, things, you get like all the right evidence and I ask all the right questions. And it's just like, yeah, you know, grade A cop. Wrong guy. Absolutely the wrong guy. And I'm like, this is insane, but I don't
know. Is there not an option, like, so there's a doubt option. Is there not an option to like quit your job and just like start a career as an ice cream man?
No, you can't just like turn into a taxi driver in LA. Like you can't do that.
I'll tell you what, this city seen some crazy things.
Yeah. Is a very much a like that's Chinatown like kind of moment at the end where it's just like get out of here. Like that's what they were trying to do. Like they were trying to make Chinatown or like LA Confidential or something, but it was just like not not that. Mm-hmm. It's the problem of like making you be a good investigator, but also trying to like force your hand or force the story. Right. And like,
yeah, that was like part of what I hated about, what was that game? Heavy Rain.
Jason.
Oh my gosh. What did you say?
Jason.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that game was funny because I mean, that game was funny for a lot of reasons. Like, none of your decisions, I don't think, really mattered. There was, like, one thing yeah, at no, the end that mattered.
There was that whole scene. Like, I told you, there was, like, a scene with, like, driving a car and having a car accident where I'm like, fuck this game. And I just put the controller down. And I'm yeah. like, this is just a movie. This isn't even a game. Like, is my character going to die? No. Yeah. It just, like, played out.
Yeah, you were just failing all the, like, quick time events for the driving sequence.
Yeah, I did nothing. I just, like, let it go. And it was just like, ride's over, nothing relevant happened. And it's like, it doesn't matter, you figure out who the guy is at the end anyway. I feel like, it was always going to end the same way, no matter what you did. The ending was always going to be the same. And
I think you can end up where your son dies or not. Like, I think that's it. But, because you can like go to the wrong place at the end or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. And then I just remember like the nightmare of like trying to like get out of a scene, like one of the scenes, like trying to get out of it. And it's like, oh, to get back out, I have to walk up this muddy hillside. And it's like, yes! And it's like,
and you gotta like tap
this
the L2
this
and R2.
Action is like made for a character with like a human being that's got like seven fingers on each hand.
Well, and so like that was the co-op game. Where it's like, you got to walk up this muddy hill. Now you got to like hold L1 and R1 and tap L2 and R2 in sequence. And you got to like, or otherwise you just like slide all the way back
down. You got to like hold down all the trigger buttons and wiggle the analog sticks and then press the face key and then hold start select and then shake it. And it was just like,
yeah,
I don't know. It was just freaking ridiculous.
And they made a, like PlayStation motion controller version of that game too. Uh-huh. And I just can't even imagine the like marionette style, like actions you have to pull off to just like open the car door in that game.
Yeah. Like now staple your controller to a hula hoop and do 60 hula hoops.
Mm-hmm. Are we done with The Witcher? Are we past that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm almost to the end of chapter two, and I don't know how many more there are, but I'm just hoping that they get shorter as the time goes on. I just kind of want to get through it so that when I start Witcher 2, I'm not in the same boat that you are, where I'm like, what in the hell is happening? And yeah. I'm somewhat relieved that you told me that your experience was like completely wackadoo because you had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
I feel justified.
Yeah. I was completely lost on, cause he meets this like several characters in the first chapter he meets, and he already knows them. And I'm like, no idea. No clue if this was part of the first game or if this is just part of the like lore from the books that is brought over or what.
The game seems like it takes place after the books or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because they haven't finished the Netflix series and I'm not going to read the book.
Well, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to watch the Netflix series with Johnny Hemsworth instead of
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill, yeah. I don't know. I think Henry Cavill is like an amazing actor, mm-hmm. but like this other guy isn't.
I mean, why did they replace him? Was it just money? Like,
I don't think we really know the answer to that question. Part of what I think I understand is that Henry Cavill is a huge nerd, right? Uh-huh. And he read all the books and he's uh-huh. played all the games. And so he has an idea of who Geralt is and what that happens in that world. So there's like set stories from the set where he's like correcting the writers and being like, no, that actually happened in, you know, this at this point in time, or like, you know, that character doesn't do that, it's this character, or like, you know, Geralt wouldn't say that line, like it would be like something like this. And so like my suspicion is that the huge nerd star of the show
knew more than the creators, and they
was like
didn't want to butting up, actor telling him what to do.
Butting up against the showrunner and the writers and stuff. And yeah, that's my guess. So I don't know. But back to the games. Like, I think it will be. I am pretty interested to hear what do you think of the combat starting 2, and then what you think of the combat starting 3, because between 2 sure. and 3, I remember thinking 3's better, but it still feels funky.
Yeah. And, well, and I assume it's very different than Cyberpunk.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Cyberpunk's like all first person. So
yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see. And yeah, the thing with The Witcher 1 is you can play it over the shoulder or you can play it like Diablo style.
Yeah.
It's like a top down okay. kind of look. And then like you can move through mouse clicks or use WASD.
Okay. Yeah. You can't do any of that in the next two games. It's all third yeah. person stuff.
I feel like the original Witcher game was made to be more of just a story game, air quotes, right? Like, cause you can just mouse click through everything, you know, uh-huh. like it's almost like, You could put it on a mobile device.
Mm.
Like, really. Like, you could probably play the Witcher game on a mobile device. The first one. But, yeah, they're doing a remake of it. And like I said, I really hope that they at least fix some of the quest structure stuff, because my gosh.
Yeah, I guess it depends on if it's a remake or just another like enhancement pass.
Yeah, I don't know. It says The Witcher remake is in development. Because, I mean, this is already enhanced edition, right?
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to bring up Bakaru, which is, I just found out about this game today. It apparently came out earlier this month. And it is, this article claims that it is the successor to Mystical Ninja starring Goemon. And I downloaded the demo. I have yet to play it because I just, like, this afternoon I downloaded the demo onto the Switch. Probably not going to play it on the Switch because there's a Steam version as well. But, like, I'll play the demo because I want to see. It is very silly, so it's got that going for it. And from what I saw, there's like a giant ship you fly around in that looks like a teapot, like a tea kettle, and it does turn into a giant mecha. And so I can only hope that things like laugh tracks and like theme songs for your giant robot and that sort of thing like cross over. But
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mystical Ninja was so fun. And like we only ever got to play it as like a rental, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely one of those like old N64 games. If I could find a retro store and like if I found that in a retro game store, I would definitely pick that up.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of the other games that I wanted from my like retro game nostalgia collection. Uh-huh. Pretty much everything that I kind of really cared about, I've got now. Because I found Crystalis and I found Star Tropics for the NES. I have Aladdin and Toe Jam and Earl for Sega Genesis.
Oh yeah, because we only had Toe Jam and Earl 2, right?
We didn't have any of.
Oh, we didn't have any of them.
No.
We had we had the Minister thing where you shoot the tomatoes.
Yes, the Minister game where you shoot at Toe Jam and Earl. Yes. Yeah. And
I hope this game's good because it looks pretty funny, like pretty goofy. Mystical Ninja was such a special game. But it was made by Konami. I forgot it was made by Konami. So, like, forget it. You'll never see... unless you want a pachinko version of it, you'll never see it again.
They're not making fun games anymore?
They're not making video... Okay, they're making... Somehow, they're releasing a remaster / remake of Metal Gear Solid 3 that they're calling Metal Gear Solid Delta. And I guess they're starting with 3 because it's in the chronology of the games, it's the first, it's the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes like 3 Peace Walker, 5, the original Metal Gear on the NES, that one's Metal Gear 2, then Metal Gear Solid, then Metal Gear Solid 2, then Metal Gear Solid 4.
Is this why like Simon Belmont and Solid Snake managed to make their way into Smash Brothers? Is like Nintendo kind of absorbing their old IPs or something?
I think they're just licensing their characters to Nintendo for those things.
Do they have any Silent Hill characters in Smash Brothers yet?
Oh, like Pyramid Head or something?
Yes!
That would be great. I don't think so. Or like the lady, the boss that was like a lady, like your dead wife strapped to a gurney.
That would be amazing.
Smash Brothers character. No, I don't know what Konami's doing. Yeah, it was weird. Like when E3 still existed for like 2 or 3 years, they continued to purchase or rent space in the E3 area, but it was this huge floor space that was empty except for signs that said Konami. And it was just like, what are you doing? What is this? Yeah, a couple of years ago, I saw a Metal Gear Solid pachinko machine, a Metal Gear Solid 3 pachinko machine that had like all of these like reworked cutscenes and stuff from the game and like high quality CG and stuff. And I was just like, why? Why for a pachinko machine? You go through all this effort to like remake these things and like not make a version of this that's like the game. But here we are. They're doing it.
I don't know. Their website is terrible. That's what I can tell you right now. I see eFootball with that guy who's like on all the soccer stuff now, I guess. His name is Messi or something.
Yeah.
And then like some Yu-Gi-Oh crap.
And then looks like they've got Suikoden, or however you pronounce that game.
Mm-hmm.
As a remaster.
Yeah, it's like all just like re-release kind of stuff is what it seems like.
And in the mix of all of those is the Dimension 43 pachinko machine. Or slot machine, or whatever it is. I do think it is interesting that, like the things at the top, the like links at to you know specific pages, like they've got these banners sliding through with all these various games, and maybe it's because I'm not clicking through the Konami Digital Entertainment, Konami Amusement Co. is arcade games and pachinko. Konami Gaming is also pachinko. Well, anyway, the second tab or the second link listed is investor relations. And I'm like, there you go. Like, that's what they're up to now. Anyway, that's Konami. But yeah, so this Bakaru, like, I have hopes. I have hopes. But I did also just buy Dragon's Dogma 2, and I still not booted it. Like I installed it immediately after beating Deliver Us Mars, and I have not started the game.
This is one thing I'm going to tell you is when you start the game, just the only thing that matters immediately is to make a note of where you find your first Seeker's token.
Okay.
Because you'll have to go back to that spot later if you do the bullshit Sphinx quests.
Okay. I feel like you might just be making all of that up because it doesn't make any sense. But
do you not remember what Seeker's tokens are?
No, I don't.
They're just like oh, let me see if I can double jump and climb and then glide over. I have to have 3 weapon skills to get to this random spot on the map. Oh, here's a Seeker's token. Okay. You don't remember that shit?
No, I don't.
Okay, yeah. So there's like 100 Seeker's tokens hidden around the world.
Okay.
And then you go turn them in to like the guy at the hotel and he'll give you like every time you find X number of them, it'll unlock something that you get for your character.
Okay, but you've got to do like weird, like.
Well, maneuvers. It's like if you jump in the fountain in town, there's one in the fountain, and you know if you climb up this ladder and then jump over to a bell tower. There's one in there. And just like, they're just like hidden all around, all over the place. And then eventually you can get like an ability that helps you, like a passive that takes up one of your passive slots that helps you detect them when they're nearby. Stuff like okay. that.
Uh-huh.
It's a real thing.
Okay.
And, so, and then there's a one of the monsters in the game is the Sphinx, and it's a bitch ass motherfucker that gives you all of these like riddle quests to uh-huh. complete. And the riddle is go to the wiki and find the solution because the riddles make no fucking sense. The end.
Uh-huh. And so the answers to the riddles aren't just like the horse's name is Tuesday.
No. It's not like answer a question that I've given you. It's like, here, I'm telling you, you know, I've given you this like nonsensical, I don't even remember if it rhymes or not, like statement. And then like, you're like, okay, that statement means, for example, I have to go back to the first seeker's token that I found, and now there's like a finder's token or something there, and I pick up that finder's token, and then I go back to the Sphinx and I tell him I found it.
Okay.
And then like, so, when it asks me to present it a random item that I've got in my inventory, I give it that.
Uh-huh.
Instead of anything else that I could give it, which is any item in the game.
And so is it all like, I'm going to give you a phrase and you've got to decipher that phrase as like a world location or something?
It's some of them are like, you've got to like go find a character in the world and like pick that character up and carry them back to this spot and put it on the spot in front of the screens.
God. Okay. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It sounds almost like, there was like, gosh, I was playing some other game. Oh, Diablo 4. Remember those stupid statues that were like, you know, say like some stupid phrase and you had to interpret it as like do an emote dance in front of the statue?
Oh, yeah. Shrine things. Yeah, but those you could figure out through experimentation. This one, you get like one chance to answer it or you fail. And sometimes there's a time limit and sometimes there's like other factors that make it like impossible to do under certain circumstances.
Oh, well, yeah. I just thought that thing was stupid because like I never used them. And I also didn't know how to use them because I had never bothered to look. And so it was like nothing on my radar was like, you have to make a gesture, like a meta gesture, as part of a mechanic in this game. And I'm like, oh, well, great. Now I've got to like actually map these gestures to buttons that I push.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, my advice, go to the wiki, look that up. Sphinx quests. Don't try to figure it out. It's not fun. And also, like, it's got, like, some of the most critical rewards in the game, like Port Crystal and stuff like that.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. So okay. You really don't want to mess it up.
Yeah. Well, wait, can you just, like, get blocked in the progress? Or, like, have to reload a save or
you
something?
You can fail the quest. Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
And you will recall how janky the save system is when you start playing it. Like, there's an autosave feature, so you do anything and it saves the game.
Yeah.
And so, right. Like, if you want to back up to before you made the mistake, you have to go back to your last inn save, which was resting at an inn or in a room if you get your own house or something.
Yeah.
And so, those are the only times you can lock in to something that you can restore is an inn save. So you only get one of those. So you really got to make sure that you got what you want. Unless there's a PC mod that like lets you just have multiple saves.
I mean, there's probably a bunch of PC mods at this point.
Yeah.
I may just look at just look at what those are and be like, can I make this less of a pain in the butt?
A mod that just turns off autosaving and like lets you force a save.
Or a mod that like makes a list of autosaves that you can pick from. Like a real game.
No, but this way you get forced into decisions that you didn't want to make, and you can't experiment and all sorts of things.
This way you've just wasted time that you'll never get back, and the only way to try to not have that happen is to play through the whole thing all over again. Or
that's a New Game Plus is for us, to fix your mistakes that you made 287 hours ago, and you didn't realize it was going to break a quest that happens in like six chapters.
Oh man. It reminded me of that Final Fantasy 12, where there was like this chest or something early in the game, and if you opened it, you block your ability to get the best weapon.
The grid of 16 containers, and if you open any one of those 16 chests that were like, or like, they're like, look like laundry hampers or some shit. Yeah. If you opened any of the laundry hampers, then like the best item in the game for one of the characters is just lost forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was the, we put this in here to sell our Brady Games handbook feature.
Yeah. I was reading somebody's comment online who is like playing through a PlayStation era Final Fantasy. And they were like, man, how did people even play these games without the internet? And the answer was Brady Games. the manual had some information, and then you were just kind of screwed on a lot of stuff until you either bought the guide or somebody copied the guide word for word in a like ASCII text file some on the internet.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well, you want to wrap it up?
Sure.
What did we decide? What was it? I
guess trapped in the man closet. Is that what you were going to call it? Something like that?
Yeah, it was like something like that. Caught, surrounded in the man closet or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think it was stuck in the man closet. It was something like that.
Yeah. No, there was another one later that was pretty good. Maybe I was thinking of your, like, you catch more flies with
shit posts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start naming them, like, Rocky and Bullwinkle if we have two good ones.
This or that.
Yeah.
You'll catch more flies with shit posts or stuck in the man closet with 15 men. Yeah.
Yeah.